You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
The president has the authority to do it. Just if I can make an analogy that's not totally appropriate, but to talk about perceptions for a moment. Speak of perceptions and why I think they're so important. President Roosevelt clearly had the right to send to the United States Senate and the United States Congress a proposal to pack the court. It was totally within his right to do that. He violated no law. He was legalistically absolutely correct. But it was a bonehead idea.
Bonehead idea. Those are the words of Senator Joe Biden in 1983 on the subject of packing the court. Well, look where we are now, 2021. No longer Senator Biden, now President Biden, and he's going along with this party pushing for this bonehead idea. Well, at least that's the way he labeled it then. You heard it. It wasn't good then. Why is it good now? I just thought of why. Because the progressives want it, and he's going to dance to whatever tune they're playing. He's been doing it to get elected. He's got to keep doing it. They're pulling the strings, and he's going to fall in line with them. You know, you have to worry sometimes that you're going to have, we questioned this before, because Jen Psaki, the White House spokeswoman, has admitted on more than one occasion that former President Barack Obama often calls Joe Biden. Well, let me correct that. We know they have phone conversations. We don't know that Obama calls him or Biden calls Obama. But there's a lot of conferring back and forth. And you have to think, is this a third term of Obama? Could be, right? And then if we're going to be told that he's president, but is he really running the show anyway? Not at this point. If he's going to look at packing the court, which he said was a bonehead idea, there's nothing that's changed on the court since that time except who's in charge and the fact that progressives want it their way. They want to make sure they have a way to control decisions from the court. This is not to make the court better. Ruth Bader Ginsburg, solid liberal, had said before her death, when it comes to the number of justices on the court, she said, I think 9 is the perfect number. 9. It doesn't specify in the Constitution as to how many they should or shouldn't have, but what they want to do now, they want to add 4 seats. They want to go from 9 to 13. And, of course, with Biden in place, then he will be able to name those 4. They have to go through Senate confirmation, but whoa, look who controls the Senate now. The Democrats. Tie vote? No, the VP gets to cast the vote. They control the Senate. Of course, they have to get this through both houses of Congress. And House Judiciary Chair Jerry Nadler says, I'm convinced we will. And all this comes less than a week after Biden signed that executive order creating a commission to study the question of whether the court should be expanded. They don't even have the results back from his commission study, and he's already, along with the Democrats, say move forward. And they did today. They introduced their plan. We're going to get into that in more detail. Also, more word about Kamala Harris. I told you yesterday that Republicans have been so incensed that she still won't go down to the border, see how things are. They put out milk cartons with her picture on it, missing. Well, she is going to go south. You should know she's going south. No, not where you think she's going south. One, I don't think she knows where the border is because in her mind, we don't have a border. She's going to go visit the Northern Triangle and maybe Mexico on the way in. And then you got Tucker Carlson being called dangerous. After we heard from Project Veritas as to how CNN was slanting all of its stories about COVID to frighten the hell out of you. And now Tucker raises a question and CNN quickly says, isn't that dangerous? Asking Dr. Fauci, isn't it dangerous? And I'm going to have later in the second hour, Pete Hoekstra, former chair of the House Intel Committee. on Democrats. Democrats planning on using our intel agencies to spy on American citizens. You, your friends, your family, your neighbors. Why? Because they consider you're a bigger terrorist threat to this nation than jihadists, which are coming across the border who knows how often, because we're no one's checking. No one's vetting who's coming across. We know we've already caught some from the Middle East. You think they were just coming here to have a vacation? Don't count on it. Oh, and something that I go back to my days in Texas and Oklahoma, cow chip throwing. I'll explain coming up. A lot to cover the next 2 hours. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Most of us are taking precautions to avoid COVID in public, but what are you doing to make sure your home is free of COVID? Wellington Environmental is the answer. And here's the great news. Wellington's average cost to professionally treat a home, less than $300. Less than $300. And the cost for treating most offices, not much higher. Be ready to copy a phone number to get on the schedule as soon as possible. First, let me remind you, if you want your own professional fogging device, Wellington sells them, priced $500. But say you heard about it from Larry Connors, save $100. If you want your home or office professionally disinfected by Wellington, here's the number, 314-644-4930. Again, get on the schedule early, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington, Wellington Environmental. This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing. Covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
What is happening with the detention of these children, the circumstances by which they arrived, is a human rights abuse being committed by the United States government. And so we are here to stand up and say that we are not going to allow this to happen, not on our watch. I will tell you, when elected, the first thing I'm going to do, one of the first things, is to shut down these private detention facilities. Right. Just shut them down.
Now, you thought Kamala Harris was at the border by listening to that, didn't you? Well, she was. She's at the border. She was looking at some of these cages, as they were calling them, that Donald Trump had families and children in, the cages. And she went down because she was a candidate at that time, pandering for votes. Every candidate does, so that's not a surprise. But, yes, she saw a reason to go to the border at that point because she could stand there and say, when I'm elected, because she was running for president, remember. And I'll remind you again, she did not sign on to be vice president with Joe Biden. She didn't sign on to be VP. She signed on to be there if Joe takes a stumble or gets pushed. Or can't remember his way out of the bathroom, she's there. And, of course, you know if they invoke the 25th Amendment to remove him, the vice president has to sign off on it. If he won't go willingly, the vice president has to sign off. And I told you, on Inauguration Day, I have no doubt the woman sat down and said, give me that 25th Amendment, I'll sign it right now. You pull it out when you're ready. Kind of like a sealed indictment. Use it when you're ready. You got my signature already. And then, of course, Joe Biden did something that she probably didn't see coming. And I told you, I really, really wish I'd been a fly on her wall when she stood there in her mask and Joe in his mask. And he's saying, I'm going to let her take care of all the border stuff moving forward, that she's going to be our point person going forward. So she gets back to the office and said, that's the last damn thing I wanted. That's a no-win situation. Look what he's done. But she has now decided she is going to go to the border. Well, let me correct that. She's going to go over the border. As in, go deep into Mexico, and then also into the Northern Triangle. I'll come back to that in a moment. But here we have the president and vice president. Now, the vice president is supposedly in charge overseeing, trying to get things under control. And she knows there's no way at this time. It's totally chaos and crisis, the words they don't like using. They prefer something with a C word like challenge with ice cream or something like that. But, you know, they know what they've got. So she's faced with it because Joe Biden dumped it in her lap. So when it became the migrant kids camps and she was running as a candidate and it was on Donald Trump's watch, you heard her say, it's a human rights abuse case. A human rights abuse case. Well, after spewing all that rhetoric against Trump all this time, now it's her human rights abuse case if she recognizes it. But the woman won't do it. No Democrat will. And do you remember? Am I preaching to the choir here? Do you remember how many Democrats rushed down to get their photo op with these cages and the kids behind them? Remember? Did Trump shut them out? Did he say, you're not allowed to come in with any photographers? You're not allowed? But we're U.S. senators, U.S. congressmen. We're going to do it anyway. He said, he never stopped them, did he? Contrary to Biden and his transparent administration, blocking any news crews, going with Senator Ted Cruz when he recently went and others, so they use their own cell phone and come back with the pictures. And they try to block them while they're doing it. Members of the Biden staff try to get in the way and block the pictures and say, we're trying to protect the children. You're not protecting the children. They're lying within 6 inches of each other. You're concerned about COVID. They're on the floor, same way they were with Trump. You don't have them, quote, in cages. You have them with these plastic soft tents around them or whatever. And it's getting out of control. The numbers keep escalating. And we remind you constantly that these coming across, it's dangerous for them to do this. Even if they're an adult, it's a dangerous trip for them. In fact, Border Patrol agents pointing out that they just stopped at a border checkpoint in Texas and found 18 adults and 2 children stuffed under the boards or stuffed in a side panel of a tractor trailer rig. They are packed so tight, they're nearly lying on top of each other, barely room to move. Most of them had their arms down on their body to make room in the space, appeared to be no more than 18 inches deep. They had tarps and bags on the bed of the trailer. So these kids, keep in mind, they lay down in that or they get up against the side of it and they close it up. Who knows how long they're like that? Another photo showing kids 10 and 15 jammed into a container, barely big enough to hold them. Temperatures are rising in that part of the world, obviously, along the border. It has a high potential to turn deadly. It has in the past. And they continue coming. They continue coming because Joe Biden made it clear that he agreed with the Democrats during the debate. Yeah, we don't need no stinking border. I agree. And it should not be a crime to cross our border illegally. The same people that want to tell us about law and order, that we need to control guns, have no problem with breaking a federal law when it comes to immigration. So now Kamala has announced that she still doesn't have plans to travel to the southern border. Not going to do it. She did say we have to deal with the root causes, otherwise we're just in a perpetual system of only dealing with the systems. So here's what she explained that now she's going to do. Please listen.
We must address the symptoms, and that is what is happening with the team of folks who are working on the border, led by Ali Mayorkas. But we also have to deal with the root causes. Otherwise, we are just in a perpetual system of only dealing with the symptoms. So our focus is to deal with the root causes, and I'm looking forward to traveling, hopefully as my first trip to the Northern Triangle, stopping in Mexico and then going to Guatemala.
Okay, going first to the Northern Triangle, maybe a stop in Mexico first, then to Guatemala. For guacamole or something, I don't know. She's not going to the border. Now, I'm going to enforce my belief, and I've said this before. Aside from this, if you have a natural disaster and the president shows up, the president, nothing changes. He's already signed off on emergency relief at whatever is needed. The president being there doesn't change a damn thing, nor does it for her being there either. I'm going to acknowledge that. But if the president doesn't show up, depending upon the party, well, then there will be a lot of noise and banging and shouting and gnashing of teeth because he should be here. He should be here taking care of things for us and should come see it firsthand. But they have no problem with Kamala doing whatever she wants when she wants. Republican Steve Scalise of Louisiana repeatedly targeting Harris for ignoring not only what's happening at the border, but especially the COVID-19 outbreaks. Remember, aren't we supposed to be concerned about COVID? I told you previously, if they check for kids down there with COVID, when they have checked, they find on a sample 10%+ have COVID, and they're all packed together, and they still don't detain them. They're quick to ship them off elsewhere in the nation. You're still under your restrictions. You lost your business. You lost your job. Because they need to get a control of COVID. However, if you're illegal, you just come right on in. We don't care. And, of course, they're moving forward. Because the whole idea of having these illegals come in is votes. Votes. They are going to use votes. And that's the only purpose they have any concern about these illegals. Believe me. I have told my black friends, I said, if you think you're that important to the Democrat Party anymore, you're not. You thought you were a minority before. You wait until they start catering and pandering all the time to the illegals coming across. Or as they tried to say, Trump called them the brown menace. He never said it. Those were their words. Let's use them back at them. But we already have a group of House and Senate Democrats, no surprise here, 22 of them, including Senators Elizabeth Warren, Pocahontas, Joaquin Castro, Democrat of Texas, and Ted Lieu, Democrat of California. They want amnesty for these millions of illegals and an infrastructure package. Uh-oh. Did you know that? Your infrastructure package also contains money for the illegals. We have nearly 17 million Americans still without jobs. But they're going to give jobs and money to illegals because it's part of infrastructure. Infrastructure? Not roads, not bridges, highways, not even internet broadband to reach rural areas, but giving amnesty to illegals plus any economic relief and infrastructure package. I told you the other day, in the state of New York, has passed something like a $2 billion package to give money to illegals, $15,000 to each of them. How many New Yorkers would like, I'd like a $15,000 check. And now they're saying, as the Democrats pushing this, here's what they say. Essential workers are American heroes. And they, referring to the illegal aliens, have earned the right to become American citizens. And called them a truly important part of our nation's critical infrastructure and crucial backbone of our society. What does that mean to the Americans that are unemployed, have lost their jobs or business? What does it mean to them? You're not that important. So Harris says, now we're going to start doing things. We're going to look at the root causes. Not going to go to the border, just going to go fly over the border, go into Mexico, deep into Mexico, Mexico City maybe, and then I'll go down to the Northern Triangle, maybe go to Guatemala and have talks. You know, she still does not have a news conference when she announces she still didn't really have a news conference. 22 days since she's been appointed manager of the border crisis issue, she still has not faced reporters at a news conference to take questions over what she's doing and how she's going to do it. But she was not missing and having a lack of any words back in 2019 when she was actively engaged in campaigning to be president. Let's hear her once again, Harris at the border, June 2019.
What is happening with the detention of these children, the circumstances by which they arrived, is a human rights abuse being committed by the United States government. And so we are here to stand up and say that we are not going to allow this to happen, not on our watch. I will tell you, when elected, the first thing I'm going to do, one of the first things, is to shut down these private detention facilities. Right. Just shut them down.
Well, she's not president, but she's vice president. She hasn't moved to shut any of those down. And they are detention facility. Oh, they renamed them. I told you this the other day. They have a new lexicon. Don't bother looking things up in the dictionary. They'll tell you what it means. It is no longer cages. It's a reception center. When we talk about having unity, we're talking about uniformity. When we talk about infrastructure, we're talking about paying illegals. You getting confused? Before we wrap up this hour, we're going to go back and pull some additional pieces from Project Veritas, showing you how CNN, leading the charge to push fake news in your face all the time and scare the hell out of you, not doing any good for you, and then turning around and calling Republicans fear mongers. But before that, we'll get an update on the George Floyd trial. The police officer, was he going to take the stand or not? That story's still to come.
Into a ring of fire. I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
So the trial continues. Derek Chauvin, former Minneapolis police officer, of course, standing trial for the May 2020 death of George Floyd. The ex-cop's defense team rested its case. And Chauvin, age 45, with the jury not in the courtroom, told the judge, "I'm invoking my Fifth Amendment right. I will not testify." And, of course, you're hearing from a lot of the folks, "Oh, he should be up there. He needs to say what happened. We want his words." Well, you're entitled to the Fifth Amendment. And you can question why or anything else. Tactically, it's probably the best thing to do. The risks were high because if he started testifying, then there's going to be cross-examination. And then they might go through the video frame by frame asking him, why did you continue pressing down on Floyd? And I'll remind you again, we were under the belief, I was too, I told you that the story that we were getting is that for 9 minutes was at the time, or 8+ minutes, it was too long either way, if his knee was in the back of George Floyd's neck, because he's already handcuffed, face down, he's no longer fighting back, he's under control, he's restrained, and putting a knee in the back of his neck was unnecessary. Whether or not that caused a death, it was, in my opinion, excessive. But then we found out, well, actually, the video we're seeing was one section where he did. For other times, if not most of the time, his knee was on George Floyd's shoulder, continuing to hold him down. I have no problem with that. But, of course, the other thing, if he took the stand, they might have had him take off the COVID-19 mask he's worn at the defense table, which might have given the jury a chance to watch him a better way and judge by body as opposed to facts. Who knows? The only time Chauvin has been publicly heard defending himself was when the jury listened to body camera footage from that scene last May. After an ambulance had taken Floyd away, Chauvin told a bystander, his quote, "We got to control this guy because he's a sizable guy and it looks like he's probably on something." Well, testimony has proven, yes, he did have some drugs in his system, and he might have downed some as soon as just before they arrested him because he didn't want to be caught with them. But we also have the situation, of course, which took place the other day with the Brooklyn Center police officer, just about 10 miles from where this trial is taking place. Kimberly Potter of Brooklyn Center, 25 years on the force, 20, make it 26 years. Also the head of the local police union. She's involved with other officers in making a route, and I say routine, never a routine traffic stop, but they're making a traffic stop of a 20-year-old. Plates were expired. And then as they're running it, where they begin to realize he's got some felony warrants on him, too, so they're going to take him into custody. And at that point, he starts fighting back. He jumps into the car. The car door is open, and she rushes forward, shouting, "Taser, taser, taser," and fires. But she's not firing her taser. She's firing a pistol. One shot. In fact, it surprised her. If you listen to the audio, she said, "Oh, my God, I shot him." I think she used more explicit details or words than I used then. But if you listen to it, she is totally surprised. Now, of course, some will say, no, she wasn't surprised. She planned it. And the question is, how do you make that mistake? You're well-trained. You're not a rookie. The taser's supposed to be on your non-dominant side. So if she's right-handed, the pistol on the right side, to get the taser, she has to reach across her body to get it. Now, maybe Sherry had the pistol out and forgot she had it out as she moved forward, and in her mind, she had changed to the taser. I can't explain why. We know it was a bad decision. She's charged with second-degree manslaughter. Whether or not that will hold her has to be lowered, I don't know. But we do know this. Police had to put concrete barricades around her home. And then they've started adding police officers to protect her home. It's not even clear she's living there still, but her family or whoever else is there may have already left. But up and down the neighborhood, a lot of the folks are worried because a lot of the activity might involve them, and they just happen to live there. Hopefully we can resolve this without any more violence. And when the George Floyd verdict comes in, I'm afraid of what's going to happen then. I pray not. I pray not, but I'm being realistic. When we come back, more on the Project Veritas exposing CNN, playing on your fears.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
When it comes to insects in the world, we are outnumbered. A University of Nebraska researcher estimates that there are 10 quintillion insects. That's a 10 with 18 zeros behind it. Now you know you need Rodler, Rodler Pest Solutions. Here's another fact. When one insect gets in your home, more will come and spread and multiply your kitchen, your bathroom, your bedroom. Call Rodler Pest Solutions immediately. Rodler, family-owned and operated for three generations. If you've never used Rodler, I encourage you to start now. If you haven't used Rodler recently, do it now. This is the season when the invasion starts. And remember, we're outnumbered. Get help. Call Rodler, 877-ROTTLER, 877-ROTTLER. Or check the website, rottler.com, 877-ROTTLER, Rodler. Pest Solutions.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
What actually happens when a network cares more about ratings than the truth? In the case of CNN, owned by parent company Warner Media, it seems that CNN has resorted to other means in order to keep you watching. What you're about to see is so shocking. Admissions about COVID, its impact, the bias, and things that we've all suspected but have never been able to confirm until now.
Fear. Like, fear really drives numbers. It does, right? The happiest days in news, people, I would imagine, turn it off and they don't stay glued to it. Unless there's something that's uniting them, like the moon landing or something like that. Fear is the thing that keeps you tuned in. I imagine. What's the scariest thing there?
Sad news doesn't do well with ratings. You know, like, if you can get someone impassioned, that does really well with ratings. Sad news, back to back to back, doesn't do really well unless it affects them directly. COVID, gangbusters of ratings, right? Which is why we constantly have a death toll on the side, which I have a major problem with, that we're tallying how many people die every day. Because I've even looked at it and be like, let's make it higher. Like, why isn't it high enough, you know, today? Like, it would make our point better if it was higher.
It would make our point better if the death toll were higher. Now, I know that's kind of hard to hear in some spots, but I thought I rarely like to do something like that. It plays best on TV, so we can have the text of the what's being said displayed at the same time. But I think you heard enough of it to understand the whole idea of CNN was to scare the hell out of you. You were listening, caught on a Project Veritas undercover operation, to a guy identified as Charlie Chester, a CNN tech director. Now, tech director, in case you missed the program yesterday, and again, I don't know exactly how CNN sets up their alignment, but here's the way it basically would be. Forgive me if you heard yesterday and now you know it all. But normally a producer would be deciding what goes in the program and how long each item is going to run. Now, there may be an executive producer above them and, of course, a news director above them and so forth and so on. But once it comes to going on the program, well, the producer has put it together. The director takes the program format that's laid out and then calls for the shots from the cameras or calling for tapes and sound as it refers to the format. The technical director is just the one that pushes the buttons and brings the camera online or brings the audio. They may have a separate audio person, but that's all they're doing. And I'm not dismissing what they're doing, but it's not a decision-making process. But yet, here's this guy who is a tech director for CNN telling you how they make the sausage. And it ain't pretty. You don't even like the taste of what comes out of CNN. But here now you know that they're behind the scenes, they're looking for a way to basically scare the hell out of you. And putting those death numbers up there during COVID, oh, yeah, that's good stuff. It's good stuff because Trump is in office. And the more those numbers tick up, it's Trump. Got to blame it on Trump. Well, but the numbers suddenly jumped because of nursing home deaths in New York State, where the governor ordered the nursing homes to keep the COVID patients. Yeah, that's not part of the number. It just goes up there. They don't explain how, why. They don't explain if those are really dead from COVID or they died with COVID. And there's a big difference. Were there deaths directly to COVID? No doubt. But when the public's already kind of confused, everything they drew like that, it's just going to cause more confusion and fear, which is exactly what they want because they feed on fear. They know that you'll stay around to watch fear. And in fact, Charlie Chester, in this interview where he got caught by an undercover camera, apparently being asked by someone either working inside CNN and posing just as an inquisitive young beginning reporter about how they play these numbers, and listen to this.
Who gets to, like, decide how long that stays on, or, like...
Head of the network. I've been in the room many a times where my director tells me, take it down. And I take it down, and then we get a phone call. Like, the bat phone, like, rings in the back. Literally a red phone. Like, this special red phone ring.
Yeah.
And they pick it up, and this producer picks it up. And you hear, mop, 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 mop. And every so often they put it on speaker. And it's like the head of the network being like, there's nothing that you're doing right now that makes me want to stick. Put the numbers back up because that's the most enticing thing that we have. So put it back up. So like things like that are constantly talked about.
And the guy making that call on the bat phone, the red phone, would be Zucker, the head of CNN News. Calling and saying, hey, there's no reason for me to watch. Put the numbers back up there. Keep the numbers up. And in fact, Charlie Chester said, I wish I just want to add more numbers to it. It would be better, as you heard earlier, if we actually put more numbers on it. I don't mean keeping it on the air longer. I mean artificially move them up because you know they're going to go up. Why not do it up when you're on the air? So what if the next day that you start lowering what you last posted? Who's going to remember? All they remember is the numbers are going up, and it's got to be Trump. Let me give you another example. You remember, of course, that there was a lot of concern about, from, quote, mainstream media, or as I now call them, state-controlled media, about going to the Lake of the Ozarks in the early months. Remember that? Lake of the Ozarks in Missouri, or Clearwater Beach, Florida? A Post, Washington Post headline said, a year into the pandemic, it's even more clear that it's safer to be outside. Essentially, providing the media narrative was widely overblown. So the Washington Post quietly admitting the mainstream, or now as I call them, the state-controlled media outlets, were wrong to panic folks over going to the Lake of the Ozarks and gathering in groups, or Clearwater Lake. And in fact, the Post reporters added, for more than a year, the vast majority of documented coronavirus clusters have been linked to indoor or indoor-outdoor settings, households, meatpacking plants, nursing homes, restaurants, near absence, or transmissions at beaches and other spaces where breezes disperse airborne particles. Distancing is easier. Humidity and sunlight make coronavirus less viable. And CNN was one of those guilty of that. In fact, Brian Stelter of CNN shamed the partiers crowded at the Lake of the Ozarks pool for, quote, obviously ignoring warnings from health officials. I will tell you this. I saw the picture of one of those Lake of the Ozark pools and so many people in there. I wouldn't get in there anyway. Forget COVID. I just don't think I'll get in the water. But again, what we have from the mainstream media, our state-controlled media now, is what can we do to make it look like the other people are to blame for scaring. Not us. Not we've just been reporting the science. Let me give you a perfect example. Last night, a CNN anchor had Dr. Fauci on, their favorite pet at this point. And he wants to kind of lambast Tucker Carlson on something he had said about Fauci the night before. Listen to how he plays it out. The CNN anchor is trying to act like, I won't even put Tucker Carlson on our air because it wouldn't save lives or help anything, as if they're saving lives by this report. Of course, come on. But he says, I wouldn't even do that. But Dr. Fauci, I want you to respond to it. Just hear how it plays out.
Last night, I want to read you. I don't want to play it because I'm not sure that helps the cause here of saving lives. Something that TV personality Tucker Carlson said on TV about vaccines in general. He said, if vaccines are effective, there's no reason for people who have received the vaccine to wear masks or avoid physical contact. So maybe it doesn't work. And they're simply not telling you that. Let me repeat that again. So maybe it doesn't work. And they're simply not telling you that. What do you have to say to Tucker Carlson?
Yeah. That's just a typical crazy conspiracy theory. Why would we not tell people if it doesn't work? Look at the data. The data are overwhelming. In the three vaccines that have been approved for use in an emergency use authorization, the J&J, the Pfizer, and the Moderna, you had 30,000, 44,000, and 40,000 people in a clinical trial with an overwhelming signal of efficacy. So I don't have any idea what he's talking about.
And, of course, Dr. Fauci has been right all the time. I don't know. I have any idea what he's talking about because I remember March of last year on a 60 Minutes interview, Dr. Fauci said, you don't need a mask. Mask's not going to do you any good. It might stop one droplet, but it's not going to work for you. And now you need two masks, even if you've had the vaccine. But again, the CNN anchor wants to play up how dangerous Tucker Carlson is. Not us, Tucker Carlson and Fox. Here we go again.
How dangerous is it for a TV personality like that who does have an audience of millions to speculate about something like that?
Well, it's certainly not helpful to the public health of this nation or even globally. You know, I don't want to get into arguments about Tucker Carlson, but it, to me, it's just, you know, it's counter to what we were trying to accomplish. to protect the safety and the health of the American public.
Isn't that rich? CNN saying, look how dangerous Tucker Carlson is. They had to admit he does have millions of followers, more than you guys do. But again, trying to get Fauci to condemn him. And he said, well, it doesn't help. I go back to CNN, that Project Veritas, when Charlie Chester, CNN technical director, said, what we really push for you is not news, but fear.
You said it's going to be like the new COVID.
I feel like, well, that's the way it was built. Unless that was just a call to arms to get people to start writing and then we'll assess it. I don't know, but...
Do you think it's going to be just like a lot of like fear? Like climate?
Yeah, fear sells.
The fear sells, so climate's our next game. More on news coverage. Not really news coverage. Stand by.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Mustang Sally. Guess you better slow up than Mustang down.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So let's continue our conversation about news coverage and the integrity of journalism as the way it should be. Not the way it is now, but the way it should be. In the next hour, I begin with what I call news and commentary. I make it very clear to you, that's not a standard newscast. I spent decades as a news anchor and always made sure that we were given nothing but the facts to the best of our knowledge, and I certainly didn't put my opinion into it. If we ever ventured into that, we would put a label on the screen saying commentary, perspective, analysis, something like that, to say we've actually departed from the actual facts and maybe we're trying to surmise what will happen because this happened and that happened, or we're voicing an opinion on it. It would be good or bad. Otherwise, stay with the facts. They cannot do that nowadays in the state-controlled media. I'm convinced they can't even spell the word integrity. CBS 60 Minutes, of course, had this piece a couple of weeks ago suggesting that Florida Governor DeSantis, a Republican, gave the Publix grocery store chain preferable treatment to disperse the coronavirus vaccine because they made contributions to his political action committee. There wasn't any fact to it. In fact, the Democrat Palm Beach County mayor said, no, that didn't happen. And the Democrat is standing up for DeSantis said, no, it was just the best way to get it out. People trust Publix. They go to Publix to do grocery shopping. It's the best way to reach a lot of folks in a short amount of time. And then, of course, the following Sunday, then 60 Minutes read a bunch of the emails blasting 60 Minutes, such as, I've been watching for 30 years, never again. And they went through all those emails, and they didn't once offer a correction or say, you know, they didn't admit to any fault. They're not going to. They talked about the comments about our story, the disparities. But again, they never said anything about what was going on behind the scenes, and they should have acknowledged that. What they did do is they brought in a mysterious retired newsman to defend the controversial report. They don't identify who this guy is. And when they say retired, I'm not sure. We know it wasn't Dan Rather. You can tell by the voice it wasn't Dan Rather, but we don't know who it is. And it could have been, as I'm reading one article here, it could have been anyone from the paper boy to Charlie Rose, who got disgraced, of course, for some of his sexual escapades. But they won't say who the retired newsman was, and the network would not reveal his identity. And he stood there and defended CBS 60 Minutes. I say BS. Why would you be a retired newsman and you need to be protected and not have your face shown? Because you're peddling a lie, maybe? Yeah. Buck Sexton is a radio host, conservative. He's on the Premier Networks. And I want you to know, Buck Sexton is conservative. I never try to hide the facts or information from you. He wrote a piece that appeared in American Consequences. And this is, again, a conservative publication. And he's talking about COVID and how it's been recovered by reporters. And he said there's been a recurring news narrative of experts surprised their predictions were off the mark. He said it happened on almost every major policy issue, from masks to lockdowns to surface cleaning, and the margins of error are often vast. The CDC or some government body told us with certainty something was true, and so we had to obey. But the data comes out, and people are saying, your science is wrong. They rely, they say, we are doing it only based on science. You'll hear Fauci say that all the time. We only look at science. But then they can't explain why, you know, Texas said you don't have to wear masks. Florida did the same. There's been no spike of folks with COVID in Texas nor Florida. Even after a Texas Rangers ball game, they were again saying there's going to be, that's a COVID super spreader. Never mind illegals coming across the border in Texas and the rest of our nation. That would be considered a major super spreader. But Dr. Fauci says, that's not my job to deal with that. I thought your job is to protect the nation. I don't care how they come in. For instance, if you are a lawman and you're assigned to protect our nation, and you happen to be in Arizona on vacation, but you see something illegal going on, what are you supposed to say? It's not my job, But again, Buck Sexton points out, we're constantly getting this doublespeak from all these people. He said the corporate media is always there to jump in with additional analysis and add to it. He said, and I'm quoting, it's been wrong so often, it's hard to keep track. Remember how we were told a year ago to panic over the possibility COVID could last for hours, days, on all kinds of surfaces? Yeah, we remember that. They would come back around and say, no, it's okay, don't worry. No, they haven't really officially. And the question, when are we ever going to get back to normal? Well, don't know. I don't know. You may never get back to normal. And we're doing it based on the science. Anybody that says they're going to believe in the science and trust the science, you explain to me the science that if there's a heartbeat, it's not a human being in a womb and it's alive before you abort it. Second hour coming up.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.